Blog Talk Radio.
It's a new league year. It's a new league year. And folks are about to get paid. Well, not yet, but at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, ladies and gentlemen, the new NFL league year will commence, which also means this big money phenomenon known as free agency will begin. So you already know that yours truly had to be on the air to talk about this. Welcome to my NFL free agent special via the Football Jones. Let's go ahead and get into it. Folks, what is going on? Welcome to the Football Jones. This is Arden talking to you. Thank you for joining me. I really do appreciate it. I'm back. NFL free agency special. Thank you once again. I really do appreciate it. And just like I told you in the intro, today is the day that the NFL league year, the new one for 2016, will commence at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay? So when 4 p.m. hits on the East Coast, where I live, in New York, the 2015 season, the season that might have been garbage for your team, that might have been forgettable or unforgettable, forget about it, because it's a new year for everybody, and that also means free agency will begin. But even though free agency hasn't technically begun yet, we still have a lot of things to talk about with free agency because, man, oh, man, we got deals flying in. And you know what? It feels of this year very different than the last few years, you know, because before the new league year started, of course we got a few deals here and there in previous free agencies, but the deals have really been flying in this year. So if you really don't know, like, I'll give you a few that have basically taken place over the last day and a half. So for example, Chris Ivory is expected to sign with the Jaguars. He's going to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who else? Bruce Irvin, the Seattle linebacker, is going to Oakland. You know? What was that Baltimore offensive lineman? He was a really good one. He had a good season last year. He's going to the Raiders. You know, my boy Adam Vinatieri staying with the Colts. Dwayne Allen from the Colts is staying in Indianapolis. The Titans, they were able to sign Ben Jones. Janoris Jenkins got himself a mega deal, in all caps, a mega deal this morning with the New York Giants. Mario Williams yesterday went to the Miami Dolphins. Benjamin Watson, who we knew played for New England, Cleveland, and most recently New Orleans. He had himself a solid season last year down in NOLA. He's agreeing to a deal with the Baltimore Ravens. I still got more deals to share with you in case you didn't know. Tahib Haley staying with the Chiefs. Richie Incognito staying with the Bills. Jason Pierre-Paul staying with the Giants. Malik Jackson, a key member of the Denver Broncos defensive line that paved the way to the Super Bowl championship. He is going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who else? I think I also saw this morning that, Travis Benjamin, the speedy receiver from Cleveland. He's going to San Diego. Marvin Jones, the number two receiver from Cincinnati, going to Detroit. Man, so many deals are taking place right now, and we're not even 4 hours away from free agency yet, okay? It's 11:04 a.m. right now as I'm talking to you. But either way, we are off to a very fast start with free agency, and I think the biggest thing to expect from free agency this year is the fact that a lot of folks are going to get paid, okay? And I know that may sound obvious because, of course, a lot of people get paid every year in free agency, but expect folks to get paid. I doubt it will be like years prior where it's like, yeah, a few guys really got the mega deals and, you know, guys under that, and then, of course, you got a lot of folks who you expect to be great value deals. No, I think the value deal, the great value deal, I think that's going to be a rare thing and free agency this year? Because so far, guys are getting paid. Like I mentioned Janoris Jenkins, the cornerback from St. Louis. He got paid reportedly $62+ million from the New York Giants over 5 years. Chris Ivory, the Jets running back, going to Jacksonville on a 5-year, $32 million deal. Okay? That lineman I was telling you about, that played for the Ravens, I think I just got his name right here. I'm going to try to pronounce it. I'm really going to screw it up. Kelechi Uzomah. I really messed it up. I know. 5-year deal worth a maximum $60 million. And you want to talk about something crazy. Remember how I talked about Malik Jackson, who played for Denver? Big part of that offensive line. Sorry, that defensive line. Going to Jacksonville for 6 years. $90 million. Let me say it again. $90 million. J.J. Watt type of money. Okay? Sue type of money. People are going to get paid, man. People are going to get paid, and I really do believe, like, that great value deal will be rare to see. It really will, because owners got money to spend. The salary cap is going up. And when you see the players make the decisions that they make, I really can't blame them for taking that money. Because here's the thing, as fans and even as media, I think in a perfect world, we would love to see a player find a perfect balance between money and winning, or see some guys sacrifice some money, or see some guys pursue a winning opportunity. But this is football, okay? And I think football, out of all the major sports, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, whoever, I think it's pretty obvious that these guys have the least amount of opportunities to really get that big deal. You look at baseball, guys, heck, with a 1-year deal could get paid tens of millions of dollars. Like, not even exaggerating. Like, I saw something a couple weeks ago about some outfielder that plays for the Cubs. I think his last name might have been Fowler. He's a brother. 1-year deal, $15 million. You know, for a dude who might bat 280, 290, like, he's probably not a gold glove or a legitimate all-star, no disrespect, but that's what we're talking about in baseball. 1 year, $15 million. 15 M's, you dig what I'm saying? So in football, you don't got that. You don't really have that unless you're somebody of marquee status. You know, you're already coming into the league playing on a rookie deal, 4 years. Or if you're coming in as a lower draft pick or undrafted, you're basically playing year by year. Or you're living on practice squad salary, because we already know we got some guys that are, you know, practice squad players. Nothing wrong with practice squad players. Shout out to them, because they get paid some nice money monthly. You know, I think they make, what is it, $4,000 to $6,000 a month during the season. And if you living, you know, not above your means, but you living right, then snap, that's still good enough money to have and to save. But I say that to say this, man. Again, these players, they're going to do what's best for them financially. And I actually read an article last night. It was on ESPN by Matt Bolden. Salute to him. I always enjoyed his work. Matt Bowen, if his name sounds familiar, he played in the league for like a few years. He was a safety, mostly as a special teams player and stuff. But either way, salute to him. He made some good points in this article about the fact that it was like, man, you know, guys have a lot of factors to consider. And I think we know about some of these factors, but the way he broke it down, it was like, wow, okay, I can see why it's always this list of teams that players consider, and it seems like they always go to, or they're always linked to. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, Florida teams. Why is it that a Florida team's always linked to, you know, this particular free agent or the free agents in general? Because there's no state taxes. But it's different than, and that's the thing too, we know about state taxes a bit, but we have like an amateur learning about it, you know, I don't even think that makes sense when I say amateur learning. We don't have a lot of learning about it. We don't have a good understanding. We just think, well, Florida, no state taxes, other states have state taxes, bam, you go to Florida. But it's about the percentages, because there's states that have state taxes, but you don't get taxed as much. And some people don't know, but these players, they get taxed for playing in other states. Like, when you go to another state and play a game, you get taxed for that, which is why, you know, Florida teams, teams that play in states that have a low tax rate, they get considered and people go to those teams because of the fact that if it's like, damn, if 8 times out of the year I'm going to get taxed quite a bit for playing in this state, then I need my game checks for when I'm at home to be looking right so I can really make that money. Because, again, we already know with these players, agents going to get their share. They got bills to pay. They got, you know, of course, family to provide for, this, that, and the third. So it's a lot. So I could see why, and it really made a lot of sense, you know. So these players, man, get that money. And I really do believe that this year free agency is going to be the key, you know, I think that's going to be the key theme. It's going to be a lot of guys getting their money and really getting that bread, because a rare deal is going to be rare to see. It really is, man. Like, you're not going to see a lot of guys get that value deal that's good for the team. Teams are going to have to pay. And, again, we're seeing that. Janoris Jenkins, $62 million. Malik Jackson, $90 million. You know, Alms Melly from the Ravens, $60 million. You know, Bruce Irvin, 37 M's. Like, guys are going to get it. Guys are going to get it. And another thing I'm always intrigued by with free agency is seeing teams in terms of what direction they're trying to go into, especially after, you know, their season going a particular way. So it's like, for example, the team that really intrigues me the most this free agency is the New York Jets, okay? I'm very intrigued by the New York Jets in terms of what they're going to do, because I feel as if the way they handle free agency is either going to be a sign of them really trying to embrace, I think, winning and trying to build something for right now, or it's going to be something which they're going to take a step backwards. I think it's going to be one or the other, you know, and that may be a premature statement to make in March. Well, I'll take a chance on that, because even if, and again, I'll keep this in mind again, this is the first day of free agency. So many things are said. I get it. I could be wrong or I could be right later on. But let's take this whole Ryan Fitzpatrick situation going on with the Jets. Reportedly, both sides are very far apart on the new deal. Now, granted, quarterback market's inflating. Sam Bradford's new deal definitely didn't help. And you're looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick as well. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. But at the same time, I also will say this. You're also still the New York Jets. You're a team that outside of a couple seasons here and there, it's not like you're that established or you're much better of a situation than you used to be. I personally feel like both sides need each other a lot. But the Jets need Fitzpatrick more than Fitzpatrick needs the Jets. I'll say that because at the end of the day, Fitzpatrick is going to get a job in this league. He's going to be fine. Now, starting job, definitely limited this time around. But he's going to get paid and he's going to find a job. If you're the Jets, you need a quarterback. And unless you really feel as if you have an answer on that roster, unless you really want to address this problem in the draft, then by all means, there has to be some flexibility on your part to sign Fitzpatrick. Just has to be. This is a dude who you could say, well, yes, he's older. You know, he's a veteran. He's 34 years old. He should understand the situation that he has. There's also a guy who, outside of one decent contract, hasn't really made that much money in the league. Okay? He probably saved a lot. I mean, I will hope that he saved a lot, because other than common sense, he did go to Harvard. But outside of one little contract that Buffalo gave him, which was, what, 6 years for $60 million, it ain't like he really been making that much money, dog. So the idea of him sacrificing money, I just think that's a little too out there. I think that's hoping. Personally, I always felt as if, considering what he did last season, but what I think he can do moving forward, I always said, man, a 2 to 3 year deal, anywhere between 12 and 15, is really what you're going to have to pay, because that's the market. And I just think at times like this, you can't cheat the market. You're not always going to be able to cheat the market, always to find a way to beat the market, especially the quarterback market. And I just think if you're the Jets and you're trying to do what you got to do in terms of building off of last season, if that is your goal indeed, if you really feel as if you could be a playoff team and you could take that next step, then you're going to have to pay a quote-unquote steep price for Fitzpatrick. You're going to have to pay 12 to 15 M's a year. I agree. 17, 18, that is absurd. But we're at a time where that 12 to 15 range or whatever for quarterbacks is very, very light. Very, very light. And I just think unless Fitzpatrick is really up for it, I just think if you're the Jets, you really can't act as if you could get Fitzpatrick to take like a Josh McCown deal. Because I look at Fitzpatrick after this season compared to Josh McCown after that lone season in Chicago in which he was really good, and I think Fitzpatrick is much better. And I really do believe Fitzpatrick gives the Jets something. He gives them leadership. He gives them a guy who really understands that offense. He gives them a guy who has some really good chemistry with a Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, and those guys love him. So it's like, honestly, I just feel like for the Jets, it comes down to this, man. You either have to make an offer and put it on the table that pays Fitz, but maybe doesn't pay him as much as you want, or you're going to have to move on from Fitz and go, hey, we got to move forward. And that's either moving forward with Geno Smith or going with a quarterback in the draft. Because it really shouldn't be that hard. Like, I understand the situation's different. You know, the whole Damian Harris thing and, of course, Muhammad Wilkerson. But it's like, you got to figure out quarterback, man. You guys finally got yourself some stable quarterback play, and you went 10-6. 10-6. I think if Fitzpatrick stays, I think the Jets are in the playoffs next year, personally. Personally. I don't know. But I just feel as if sometimes you have to pay what you don't want to pay. And I'm not saying the Jets have to overpay for Fitz, but I also think at the same time, trying to possibly lowball him or really trying to pay him low, I just don't think it's going to work. I really, really don't. I just think you have to accept the fact this man is going to be paid double digits, 12 to 15. You just have to be creative with the type of deal you're going to give him over 2 to 3 years and, you know, work out the guarantees and maybe work out the cap numbers and stuff. But you got to understand that's what you're going to pay him. You have to pay him that based on what he did last year and what he can do moving forward. Because if he can be a 3,900-plus yard passer with 30-plus touchdowns and possibly be better because of his understanding of the offense and him playing with B. Marshall and Eric Decker, then paying him single digits or really paying him low is pretty rude. It's effed up. Like, you can't do that. That's being cheap. That's being cheap, and those are the type of moves that show why teams remain long-term losers in the National Football League. It really does, man. It really does. It shows why teams are just losers, bro, to where even if they have winning seasons, you just go, they're losers. Like the Jets, yes, always had individual talent, have had some winning seasons, but they're losers when you look at it from just the big picture. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and they have the opportunity to really build on that. Not in terms of losing, but the winning. But that's neither here or there. That's their problem, not mine. Because my problem is with the Colts. And my thing with the Colts is this. I don't want us to be as active in free agency as we were last year. Because clearly that didn't work. For me, my biggest thing would be address a couple positions in free agency, do what we have to do, and then moving forward, address through the draft. So, for example, like, I would love if in free agency we could get Alex Mack, center from the Browns. I would love to get a corner, and there's quite a few corners in free agency that are available right now. I'm talking Sean Smith coming off a really good season. I'm talking Casey Hayward coming off a good season. Prince Amukamara. I'm talking Patrick Robinson. Adam Jones. There's some corners out there that would really help us in our secondary for the Colts. You know, I see Eric Weddle as a safety. I would love him and Mike Adams together with a corner that we got, along with the fact that we got Darius Butler as our slot corner and what's his name? DeJon Smith. If he can really just do that, then I'm good. Heck, I'll probably prefer a running back for a cheap price. I mean, anybody could tell me how much is, what you call it, how much Bilal Powell's worth? If he's affordable, I wouldn't mind him either, because the Colts, we need some running back debt, man. Like, we really haven't had, like, a legitimate 1-2 punch in years. Like, I'm talking, like, the last time the Colts really had, like, 1-2 option, I'm talking Joseph Addai, Dominique Rhodes. Like, I'm being completely honest. Like, I'm talking, it's been since then. Dominique Rhodes, Joseph Addai, you know, Ezrin James, Dominique Rhodes. Like, we really haven't had that legitimate one option. So I just feel like if we could just get another back to go with Frank Gore, then we're set. Then we're really set. But, yeah, man, I wouldn't mind that. You know, offensive line, get addressed in free agency with Alex Mack, because we already got Costanzo at left tackle. We got Muhart, who could play left guard or right guard. Get Alex Mack at center. You know, right guard could come in a draft or somebody cheap. Give me a tackle in the first round, and we good money. You know what I'm saying? And in free agency, I just think more than anything, corner and safety could be addressed. That would really be nice. Get a nice little corner or whatever address and free agency along with the safety, then I'm good to go. I'll take a chance on a receiver in the draft, because the receiver that I wanted from free agency, Marvin Jones, I think I said earlier in the show, he's going to Detroit, so I don't really want to go after any of these receivers in free agency. They're not as attractive to me, honestly. So I'll take a chance on a receiver on day two. You know, that would be nice. For real, I'll do that third round. This receiver class is pretty legit. But I just think that some of the big needs that we have need to be addressed in free agency. So if we could address offensive line a little bit, perfect. Secondary, perfect. Running back, perfect. Linebacker, if available, perfect. Or defensive line, you know, that's cool with me. But just try to get some good value signings and free agency, so the draft could be light work and we can do what we do. Trust me. Yeah, man, free agency, NFL league year starts at 4 o'clock today, Eastern Standard Time. Did I mention the Dolphins-Eagles trade? Apparently there's something going on this morning about that. I mean, yesterday news came out that, you know, the Dolphins and the Eagles had a trade that was being worked on and agreed to, that was sending Brian Maxwell and Kiko Alonso from Philly to Miami. But this morning, all the news about that was the fact that that deal was looking off because Brian Maxwell failed his physical or was having problems in his physical. But new word around the town is the fact that that trade should be going through. That trade should be going through. You know, his agents tweeted it that, you know, his physical did A-okay. So, hey, that's neither here nor there. But either way, thank you for listening. Really want you to enjoy free agency. Don't get too stressed out about it. In the words of French Montana, don't panic. Don't panic. And it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun one. I can't wait for it. I always look forward to it. You know, I'm definitely going to look forward to it more than ever this year, because I'm going to be chilling. Just hoping my Colts make a few moves, but I'm watching everybody else, because it also goes back to what I said earlier. A lot of guys are going to get this shmoney. Guys are getting paid. Like I said, I really don't believe, like, the good to great value deal is going to be, you know, seen often. Like, I really don't think so. I just think too many guys are going to get paid, for real. And before I end the show, let me just say, I've already said thanks and goodbye to Peyton. I actually wrote a letter, you know, a letter to Peyton. You can check it out on my Tumblr page, which is in the description below, ardenlovesports.tumblr.com. Thank you for everybody that's been reading it and telling me how good it's been. I really appreciate it. So you guys already know how I feel about Peyton retiring and stuff. So I've talked about it quite a few times and stuff, wrote the letter, so we get that. But Calvin Johnson retired yesterday. What a pleasure it was watching him. It's going to be a heck of a Hall of Fame class in, what, 2020, 2021? Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Marshawn Lynch, possibly, Jared Allen, and Calvin Johnson. But got to say thanks to all those guys, man, for the incredible, incredible action that they provided us over the years, how much fun that they gave us being professionals and the memories. It's been really, really incredible. But other than that, that's today's show. Thank you for listening to my free agency special. Enjoy free agency. I will be back on the air, of course, really soon, because I'm supposed to be doing a couple of special shows with a good friend of mine, Connor Rogers. You guys may know him since he's been on my show before during draft season and stuff. And he's a draft analyst on the rise, who's doing big things. A new episode of the Foresight Podcast should be coming soon, really soon. Like, it's been at least a couple weeks since me and Wills recorded. You know, Wills is a very busy man doing what he got to do as he's getting this money too. But yeah, man, I got a lot of stuff on the way. You know, Foresight Podcast is coming. Snatchback Podcast Basketball is coming. Tumblr, YouTube updates. And, of course, follow me on Twitter, man, at Ardent Sports Talk, where you can get everything about me. But, yeah, like I said before, for, like, the freaking 100th time, thank you for listening. Enjoy free agency. Have some fun. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.